I speak in the name of God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we are continuing our series on the book of 1 Peter, which Philip has already read to us from. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through to the end of 12. And you can find it on page 1218, 1218 of the Pew Bibles, if you so wish to follow it. If you've missed any of the series so far, they are on the podcast, so you'll be able to catch up should you want to do that as well. The book of 1 Peter is a very powerful book in the Scripture. Now, all Scripture is powerful, but 1 Peter is directed to those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the call which he places on our lives. And so each one of these sermons during this whole series, and it takes us right up till I think it's the first or second week in July, we're thinking of what it means to be called. What is the call that God has on our lives? And so week one we thought about the call to live in hope. And last week we were thinking of what it means to be called to be holy, how we're called to be a holy people. And this morning we're kind of continuing that theme of what it means to be holy, but thinking more deeply about what it actually means to be chosen, the call to be chosen by God for a particular purpose. Whenever we think in church about being called, you know, we'll hear people say, "I feel called." Usually in our minds, or certainly in my mind, I think about a call to a particular task in ministry, and more often than not, it could be called into ordained ministry. And that may be for somebody in church this morning, or maybe even someone in the Sunday school in 10 or 20 years' time. They might feel that call to ordained ministry in the Church of God. I myself, you've heard me tell before about the call that God has placed in my life, firstly into ordained ministry, and then to be here in Strabane, in this church, in Christ Church. For some people, the call upon their lives is to be a husband or a wife, and then parenthood, to be a mother or a father. For other people, the current call in their life is to be grandparents or to be an aunt or an uncle. For some people, the call on their life is to be godparents. Last week we were thinking of the importance of praying for our children and nurturing them and helping them grow in their faith. The call of God isn't just to be wearing a dog collar. It's in so many shapes and forms. There are people called to share hospitality, to open up their homes, to provide food for others, to just have that warm and welcoming personality that so many of you have. The call could be that you're an administrator, and you absolutely love sitting at a desk doing what I absolutely hate, going through reams and reams and reams of paper. For others, it may be the call to think of numbers, to be sitting going through figures, hundreds and thousands of figures, which I enjoy slightly more than I enjoy admin, but mind you, none of them I have a love for. The call could be to just simply take somebody to the shop. The call could be that once or twice a week, or maybe daily, to lift the phone and phone a neighbour. We all have a call upon our lives, and we're chosen by God to do that. So let's look at this passage together, looking at verse 4. Peter writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We all are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are living stones. We are physical emblems of what Jesus has done for us. We are examples of how his church should be living and working and moving, and letting him have his way through us. We are living stones. We've said it so many times. We teach it to the children in a special little sort of hand signal way, that the church is not the building, but the church is the people. You may remember learning it yourselves. You know, here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and you see the people. There's the minister climbing up the stairs in his pulpit saying his prayers. The church is the people, and we are living. We are the living body of Christ in the earth today. We are living stones, Peter writes in verse 5. But he also tells us that the initial living stone, the Lord Jesus himself, was rejected by man. And we know that. We hear about that on Good Friday, and how that those that on Palm Sunday are praising him and lifting him up in adoration, 5 days later are crying for his blood. Crucify him, crucify him. They reject him. And so we, as the living stones, the visible body of Christ, will be at times rejected by the world. And we know that and feel it. I can testify to it, and I'm sure you can as well. But Peter says twice in this passage. He says it here in verse 5, and then he says it a little later on. He calls us something in particular. He says that we are members of a particular group. We're not Pharisees. We're not Sadducees. We're not teachers of the law. We're not members of the Sanhedrin. We're not members of the Church of Ireland, even though that's the church that we worship in. We are actually members of the holy priesthood. Now, I know that within the Reformed traditions, within the Protestant churches, we sometimes struggle with the terminology priesthood, because we automatically think in our mind of three other churches in this time. We might think of Father Doherty or Father Sweeney or Father Bold, and we think priesthood, oh, that's Roman Catholic. But within the Church of God, as the Church of Ireland understands it, we are a branch of the Church of God. As the Church of Ireland understands it, we hold on to the threefold ministry that's found in Scripture. That of the diaconi, the diaconate, deacon, to always serve. That of the priesthood or presbyter, to always offer. And that of the episcopate or the bishop, to oversee. Historic doctrine of the church. And so if we struggle with the word priest, or you want to use the word presbyter, which either, for they both mean the same thing, then just read this, 1 Peter 2. For it tells us that every single one of us, not just those of us who wear these funny collars, every single one of us are members of the holy priesthood. And a little later on he refers to it as the royal priesthood. Which means we have a purpose. But he also tells us what that purpose is. We have a duty. And that duty, if you see it at the end of verse 5, is to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Through his one and only Son, whom he gave for us. And what is our spiritual sacrifice? The Apostle Paul writes it, is to offer ourselves, our souls, and our bodies. Everything that we do, every moment of the day, should be aimed at worshipping God. The Westminster Confession of Faith, quoted so often, describes it beautifully. Even though it's not in our own catechism, but we adhere to it. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify who? God, and enjoy him forever. That is how we exercise the ministry of being members and corporate of this holy priesthood. Peter then, verse 9, opens this up even more. He says, you are a chosen people, We are chosen by God for His purposes, to share His word, to share all that He has with those around us. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There's that again. A holy nation. Last week we were thinking about what it means to be made holy in the image of God. That we can't do it on our own, but it means to be set aside, to be different, to be in the world but not of the world. Well, here we're called to do it again, to be a holy nation. We together as one body, marching forward for Christ. We should have had the hymn this morning, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Or even that other hymn, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We're a holy nation who strive to bring love and peace and light into an extremely dark world. Because in verse 9 he says, we are a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wondrous light. Darkness in the scriptures, especially in John's writings, representing sin, but light representing newness of life in Christ. We have been called out of sin to walk with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Then in verse 11, as we move on through the passage, we read, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens or foreigners and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. I would know that for people in church this morning, the devil is having a mighty battle. I'd have no doubt in it, because he does it all the time. And his aim is to steal our joy. And it's great to see you in church this morning, even though half the town's closed off. It's great to see you here. But I wonder, was there in your mind on the way here a split second where you thought, oh, I really can't be bothered with a hassle this morning. I'll just turn around and go home. But you didn't. You persevered. And then when you got to the church, you could hardly find a car parking space because the car parks are mad with all the runners. And so maybe you felt like doing a marathon yourself and running from the car to church. Whatever it was, you persevered and you pushed on. Even you had that thought. Or you were sitting eating your breakfast and you thought, you know, can I really be bothered listening to the rector spout on for 20 minutes? But you're here. Because you're part of a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood who's standing up against the devil's lies. One of the greatest lies that the devil sows that is believed by the most people is this lie. I'm all right. We've all thought it. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. You know, when we believe that lie, the devil is raging a war against us. And we need to stand firm. We need to put our foot on the cornerstone that we read about in verse 8, 7 and 8. We need to put our foot firmly on the Lord Jesus and stand on Him and Him alone. And you know, when the devil comes at us, and he will, and he does, and will continue to until the day and hour that the Lord calls us or returns, when he comes at us, we need to shoot out our chests and stand firm and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And even though he comes at us like 10 rugby players chasing down a field after a ball, and you're standing holding the ball, and you know he's going to hit you, and you know you're going to feel it, and it has the chances to land you on your back, you need to stand tall. And don't let him win. Don't let him win. In verse 12, let me finish with this verse. Peter writes, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What Peter is saying here is, stay in the world. Don't exclude yourself. Be different. Show the world that we are different. Show the world how we live according to God's riches. But let the world see it, so that they too may turn and come to Christ. They will know us by their testimony, by our testimonies. We read in the book of Revelation. By our testimonies. The things that we do, and the things that we say, and how we respond. When I leave this world, and God calls me home, I would hate to stand before him and him to say to me, because of something you did on such and such a date, that person turned away from me. I would hate to hear that said. Likewise, I would also hate to hear the Lord saying to me, 14th of May 2017, you didn't tell the people in Strabane that they needed to know Jesus. I would hate the Lord to be saying that to me. I would hope that every single one of us is the same. It's important to build ourselves on the Lord Jesus, to be his chosen people, serving him in his world, to his glory, so that others may come to him. Let's bow our heads together. And ask yourself, are you building your own life on Christ? And if you are, thank the Lord that he allows you to do that. And if you're not, well, why not do it now? Tell him from now on you want to build on his foundation. But secondly, if the devil is raging a war against you at this moment, if you're struggling, maybe with a sin in your life or with something that's coming from an outward force towards you, from the world, hand it over to Jesus and say to the devil, it's okay to do it. Say to him, stop. I'm a child of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the strength, the power that we receive in his name. We thank you that he is our cornerstone. He is our sure foundation. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to stand up against the powers of the devil and against the war which he rages against us, and be able to stand firm on Christ, our cornerstone. Father, keep us strong in our witness. Guard us in our testimony, so that others will come to you through our witness. We thank you for the call you place on each of us to be members of the royal priesthood, and to be a holy nation. Build us and make us into that, for we pray it in your precious, holy, and life-giving name. Amen.